The word of the day is inflation. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Stock benchmarks here in London and across Paris, Frankfurt, and Madrid are down in the 0.1% to 0.5% range ahead of a day of central bank decisions this side of the world. A recent sharp rise in food costs and energy prices at record levels is likely to spur policymakers into action. In just over an hour, the Bank of England is expected to raise interest rates to 0.5%. 45 minutes later, the European Central Bank is widely thought to keep rates on hold, but questions are swirling over whether key language in the all-important policy statement will change. That's because yesterday, data showed Eurozone inflation in January reached a record high of 5.1%. That's more than double the central bank's target. Higher rates are usually used to cool price increases, so beyond that, what can the ECB do to help households? ING chief economist in Germany, Carsten Breske, has the answer to that question.
The ECB cannot do anything. There is nothing the ECB can do to lower energy prices. So it would be now governments coming in with some kind of schemes in order to compensate this loss in purchasing power. And the only thing the ECB should consider right now is it still necessary to fuel economic growth with all these ultra-loose monetary policies? And there the answer is no. So this is why the ECB should now gradually withdraw monetary stimulus. But there is nothing they can do to bring some short-term relief to households suffering from higher energy prices.
The ECB had basically implied that it wasn't going to be ready to raise rates until next year. Now market expectations are pricing in 2 to 3 rate hikes this year. So what is the calculus at the central bank? Why is deciding to finally raise rates when inflation is so hot? Why is that so complicated?
I assume the ECB was to hike interest rates completely unexpectedly today. This would push up all kind of financial market rates, longer-term interest rates. It would probably also lead to a sell-off in equity markets. And once longer-term interest rates start to increase, we know from the past that they increase at different paces across European countries. So traditionally then, an Italian interest rate would go up much faster and much more than a German interest rate. And that is the whole thing, because then you have this channel through public finances. So higher bond yields in Italy mean the sustainability of Italian public finances comes under pressure again. This is something which brings back memories of the euro crisis, something no one really needs currently. And this is why the ECB is additionally very cautious in not hiking interest rates too early. To give them some benefit of the doubt, no single interest rate hike today would make that containers out of China come faster to Europe. No single interest rate hike would lower energy prices or would produce more microchips. So therefore, it is okay if they don't hike interest rates today, but at least they should open the door to future actions, not in a too distant future.
A very complicated equation here. ING chief economist in Germany, Carsten Breske, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
The rising cost of living isn't just an issue for countries in the West. Fresh data from Turkey today showed consumer prices there jumped by 48% in January from a year ago. The plunging value of the country's lira currency has made the inflation situation worse. And while that puts a tight squeeze on households, the near 50% depreciation last year made other currencies like the dollar or the pound go a lot further, and that helped attract vacation goers. Visitor arrivals were up 85% from the year prior, but the amount they spent was a third lower than before the pandemic in 2019. So could more tourism help offset some of the bigger economic problems facing Turkey? I put that to Roger Kelly, an economist at the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development.
Tourism, it accounts for around 13% of GDP. So, you know, it's a fairly significant contributor. One of the underlying structural problems that Turkey's economy has is this current account deficit, which it has to finance. Now, clearly, if you've got good tourism revenues coming in, this helps reduce the current account deficit, which makes financing it more straightforward, which helps in the end, you know, it helps support the lira, if you like. So it's bringing currency in. And if you've got a stronger lira, it means your inflation problem is reduced. So because a weaker lira helps to feed inflation. So from that perspective, if you have got a reasonably strong tourism season, this helps to support the lira and it helps bring down inflation to a certain degree. It makes the central bank's job a little bit easier, if you like.
So when we look at the most recent 2021 tourism numbers, does that give you any optimism then for the industry?
I think it's worth keeping in mind that 2021 was still a difficult year for Turkey. I mean, if we go back to 2019, you know, Turkey was, I think, the world's sixth most visited destination at that time, and it had around 52 million tourists that year. And $35 billion of revenue. So it's a very important revenue source. If things are normalizing as far as COVID is concerned, we should see another strong tourism season, and hopefully that will help things to recover, yeah.
Could it be sort of a double-edged sword, though? Because a lot of tourists that we spoke to did notice how inexpensive it was to visit Turkey. You know, they were able to stay in better hotels and eat at nicer restaurants than they otherwise would have been because of that exchange rate. Could it be that as the lira maybe finds more stability and recovers potentially in the next year or so, could that put off tourists maybe looking for a cheaper holiday?
I think we're still going to see tourists coming in. I mean, it's certainly true that as the lira depreciates, everything becomes cheaper. But I think there's a core base of tourists who visit Turkey regularly. And I think even if the lira recovers, it's still going to be a relatively good value tourist destination. It may not be bargain basement like perhaps it has been in the last couple of months with the depreciation, but it'll still present a good value prospect.
Roger Kelly from the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Thanks for your time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
To Spain now, where the coalition government faces a crucial vote in Congress today on a labor reform it's introduced. The leftist administration of Pedro Sanchez says the reform will reduce the country's heavy reliance on temporary contracts. Spain's jobless rate is currently at 14%, one of the highest in Europe. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco has more on that from Madrid.
The Spanish government appeared to have delivered on one of its big promises to voters in December when it successfully negotiated a new labour law with business leaders and unions. The reform sought to slash the number of temporary contracts, which currently account for around a quarter of all jobs and particularly affect women and young people. The new law limits temporary contracts, only allowing them in circumstances such as for training or the temporary replacement of personnel. Today's vote in Congress had initially been seen as a formality to rubber stamp the reform, but Basque and Catalan nationalist parties, which have supported the government in the past, have expressed opposition to the legislation. As a result, the law's approval is not a foregone conclusion. Its rejection would be a major political defeat for the coalition government of Pedro Sanchez.
That's the BBC's Guy Hedgeco reporting from Madrid there. Well, since we've been talking about monetary policy, a quick pop quiz. Do higher interest rates cool or stoke inflation? According to a recent poll conducted by The Economist magazine and YouGov, 45% of Americans believe higher interest rates worsen inflation. 34% said they weren't sure. The real answer is central banks raise rates to calm rising prices, which is why we're seeing so much debate about it among policymakers today. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.